Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we believe in the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We're convinced the checks and balances, absolutely brilliant, put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. But you know what? It's running off the rails, I'll tell you that right now. Dennis Prager reporting with a news service or a research firm. 70% of millennials support socialism. Prager, you with the details. Now, I mentioned that I tried to meet with a bunch of sheriffs, sit down, talk about, in my opinion, the difficulty in America where, hey, we're starting to divide on so many factions, whether it's red state, blue state, Donald versus Nancy Pelosi and crew or whatever, Antifa versus, quote, you know, right, whatever you want to call them, white, right, whatever, they want to say supremacist or extremist or white, whatever, and they want to basically the racists against the Antifa. And I mean, the battles in America are started, the divisions are becoming so great that we need a clarion call for civility. I wrote an article about that 4 years ago, 3 years ago at least. And you know what? This is getting it's starting to become feverish pitch. So I said, you know what? Let's sit down with the sheriffs, me and Sheriff, which former Sheriff Richard Mack and others, and said, let's sit down, let's feed the sheriffs dinner, and let's have a private forum where the sheriffs can express their concerns and where we can talk about what our concerns are, and we can come up with maybe a plan, a way to deal with this, a way to work together and find solutions. And the majority of the sheriffs just flat out and said, not interested. You're a radical. You're a nut. We don't even want to sit down with you. Now, think about that indictment of us on one hand by them, and then by the nature of elected officials saying we're not even interested in considering sitting down with you. Forget that your ideas are to bring peace and bring people together, and we're not even going to sit down with you. We don't even care what your faction has to say. And I'm telling you, it doesn't bode well for the Republic. Well, anybody who tries to do anything about it, Kurt, is shut down now, whether it's in the media. Shut down Google and the government and everybody else will just marginalize you and flat out shut you down. Facebook, Twitter. Okay, when it comes to running for office, they will absolutely destroy your character with impunity. Okay, Sandra Merritt exposes Planned Parenthood literally delivering babies with a network of selling baby organs, delivering the baby live with the intent of stealing the organs, murdering the baby, selling the organs for a massive profit. That came out in court, Sandra Merritt. Sandra Merritt lost. Planned Parenthood got $1.5 million plus out of it. Troy and many of the others that were fighting for the right and responsible underground journalism in this case are fined big money. Troy's got to pay over $800,000. Everybody says they'll appeal, but we've already spent close to $1 million on these lawsuits only to get slammed by the judge. All right. You know, Ken Cromar, our buddy, lost his home to the IRS. Ammon Bundy rotted in jail for 2 years. And at the end, he did nothing wrong. And the only people that really they documented were involved in wrongdoing was your FBI and your Justice Department, who withheld, how do they call that, exculpatory evidence? Okay. And literally lied on the stand and got caught perjuring themselves. No accountability whatsoever. Right on through now to where I try to sit down with the sheriffs and feed them dinner at my expense and say, hey, let's talk about this and find a way forward that's productive and civil and meaningful and law-abiding and peaceful. And they say, not interested, buddy, go away. And now we get to Roy Moore. Kurt briefed us on a bunch of Roy Moore stories. He's got about five of them here, but I think they're all relevant for the discussion we're having right now, Kurt.
Well, that's right. And, you know, I was looking through them just trying to figure out.
Now let's cover all of them. I don't care if it takes a half hour. It's worth it.
If you're not aware of what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, Roy Moore is a Judge Roy Moore is a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Alabama, was for two terms. I guess you run for that down there, the way I understood. The people put him in there, and then the swamp monsters, the insiders, the kingmen pulled him out each time he was defending the Ten Commandments or traditional marriage, in each case. went against the insiders big time. But now, this last time, he ran for election as a senator because the president had chosen to elevate Mr. Sessions, which was their sitting senator, and so then they had to have a special election. He ran for that office, and the Washington Post and their minions, the New York Times and others, ran articles basically accusing him of improprieties with young girls like 30 and 40 years ago. And as he says in one of these articles, he says, where are my accusers? And he says, they'll probably be trotting them out pretty soon, because it's all around the election times that they do that. But he's filed suits against them and said that they lied and defamed him and all these different things. And he's actually filed suit against a number of these super PACs, if you will, where they spent thousands and thousands of dollars to try to defeat him. I think one story even talked about $900,000. We used to say this old phrase about things. It was if you're catching flack, you're right on target. And Chief Justice Roy Moore from Alabama, he must be right on target, because I don't know of anybody who got more flack. One about the $910,000 was way down in that one AP story, Sam, where it says, it was disclosed after the election that the PAC received money from Senate Majority PAC, and that was Mr. McConnell and crew, which works to elect Democrats to the U.S. Senate, and $910,000 from Priorities USA. Okay, so Senate Majority PAC was probably not McConnell, but there was also, Republicans that opposed him and that kind of thing, because what they did was they made him feel like you can't support Judge Roy Moore, because if you do, then you're going to be supporting a guy that does all these evil things to these girls, and stuff. But I think it was just basically a bunch of lies thrown at him, and then you had people refusing to go out and vote or whatever. The vote count was really slim at the end where he lost, but and so I think there was certainly vote fraud going on there. But we'll see what happens. I guess now there's 8 different guys running for the Senate position now. Or 8 Republicans, I should say. And, the list includes Jeff Sessions, the former United States Attorney General. Then there's the Tommy Tuberville. He's the former Auburn Tigers football head coach. These, in my opinion, are the top ones. And then you've got Roy Moore. One of the stories talks about...
Hold on, keep going. You got to get the rest of them, because, sadly... Rand Paul and others are backing another guy you haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, what was it, Mooney?
That's right. Ronald, I think it is.
Arnold Mooney.
Arnold,
yeah.
Mooney, yeah.
Anyway, several others. Secretary of State of Alabama. So there's, it's a hotly contested thing, but in my opinion, it's going to come down to, if the good people of Alabama have learned their lesson from the last election, that the insiders and the swamp monsters or whatever are going to do all they can to get the best guy out of there, in my opinion. Now, they had a recent event where they were together, and they were asking some of them different things about what they... what was their vision for Alabama? Jeff Sessions said, "I believe in Alabama values, family, faith, free enterprise, hard work. We're going to try to put some steel in the spines of Republicans." And I'd be kind of asking, well, where was your steel in your spine when you were in there? But anyway, Roy Moore responded. He said, "Vision. My vision is the Constitution of the United States. We have states' rights. We are entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because they're given by God. Speak out about health care, about the imbalance in trade, about our economy, about illegal immigration." Our Arnold Mooney said, and that's the one, like you say, that's backed by Rand Paul and Mike Lee and others. He said, "My vision for Alabama is to get back to foundational principles and values. My vision is to take our values to Washington. We've got to be about changing the debt situation in our country. We've got to deal with the problems we have with the security at our border." Anyway, those
now this is the guy that I try. He's a Alabama state rep now, Kurt. I try to get a hold of this guy on his phone numbers, and all of his phone numbers are no good.
Wow, that's interesting. Huh?
Well, that way you don't get a hold of him. You know what I'm talking about? They don't want you to get a hold of him, Kurt. These bureaucrats and thugs are insulating themselves more and more and more and more to where they blatantly just say, "We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to hear from you. Just shut up and vote for us, and put your money in, and leave us alone. And we don't want to hear from you." Sad but true. So Roy Moore's in the news for a variety of reasons. We'll talk about them all, ladies and gentlemen, because this is really important stuff in my opinion. I want to focus on this Roy Moore stuff more. Donald Trump will publicly attack Jeff Sessions in Alabama Senate race as GOP fears that Roy Moore might become the nominee. Shane Croucher with the details. Kurt's got it in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, back with you live. So Roy Moore's in the news for good reason. A lot of stories surrounding Roy Moore that the mainstream press won't tell you anything about. I, by the way, am a proud backer of Roy Moore for the Senate of Alabama. But this is serious business because the battle is on. All right, Donald Trump will publicly attack Jeff Sessions in Alabama Senate race as GOP fears Roy Moore could become the nominee, writes Shane Croucher. Now, Kurt, what on earth? Why would you attack Sessions because you're afraid of Roy Moore? What?
Well, what you've got is they call him Traitor Jeff. Some folks do, and the thing is, you got to remember that that's pretty much what the president called him after Jeff Sessions, was chosen by him as the attorney general. And then he said, hey, I'm going to recuse myself. And so, they've got audio. Basically, they got the president calling him Traitor Jeff. So I think that's going to make it pretty tough for Jeff Sessions to move forward and say he's, got the support of the president. You know what I mean, Sam?
Part of the reason that I think that he wants to attack Jeff is he wants to stop Jeff at all costs. But also, Jeff and Roy seem to be a little bit tied together, Kurt. Jeff Sessions and Roy Moore speak at Huntsville GOP meeting. Now, you could say, well, they're not really together, and they're not. Except for, some of the nation's most discussed candidates come together in Huntsville to speak at a local GOP meeting. And candidates for the Alabama Senate seat may have different proposals about how to execute the ideals of their, quote, Republican Party. However, they all agree on a few things, Kurt. They say we need to return the country to conservative values, and what else?
Can't remember exactly. Like you say, it's a lot of stories there put together. And then like you talked about the lawsuits that Judge Roy Moore has done. I remember one of our buddies used to tell us, hey, that's the only thing left for us. We've got to take these guys to court. Well, the problem, at least with that, is, then you got to find a good judge and a good jury, and you got to have enough money with all the legal costs that are there. I mean, it's prohibitive almost to get justice, don't you think, Sam?
Well, and that's kind of what I'm talking about last hour. I just say, hey, I used to believe we could really solve things, Kurt, by just working on it together. But now that the sheriffs won't meet with me, I'm starting to kind of think a little bit differently now. Roy Moore visits local restaurant. How does that go, Kurt?
I thought that was kind of at least a little bit of a fun little story. Robert Smith wrote it. WDHN, I guess, is in Enterprise, Alabama. Says he made a stop in the Wiregrass. That was this recently. He visited the Pole Folks restaurant in Enterprise to talk about a variety of things. He discussed a little on impeachment talks, the Constitution, his faith in God, and, of course, why he chose to put his name in the hat for the U.S. Senate again. He says there are a lot of things to examine if it's up to God's will to put him in the Senate seat. Need to look at the national indebtedness. We have to do the best thing to balance our trades with foreign entities. We need to look at how we can defend the borders of Syria when we can't even defend our own borders. We need to look at health care. I think it's a lot of issues that we need to examine. Moore says he loves being in Enterprise, and he hopes for the support of the Wiregrass in the next Senate race. So
there you have it.
Have to go eat there at the Poe Folks restaurant sometime.
I'm in. Absolutely. But here's the bottom line, though. Siegelman's speaking out and says, hey, no matter how many people are in the race in Alabama, expect, Kurt?
Well, expect a Roy Moore, Doug Jones rematch in 2020. And that's what he's saying because, he's just basically saying that these other guys will split off a number of votes, but there's a good bunch of, he feels like Christian support for Judge Roy Moore. And I believe, Sam, that it's kind of like the support for the president. Nobody really wants to say it because they'll be probably tarred and feathered. But I think that they'll come and support him if the vote is honest. And, I don't know what else the Washington Post, New York Times could trot out that would be worse than last election, Sam. Do you? What else could be?
I don't think they could trot out what would be worse, but I do think they could go ahead and just put things in the courts and drag things out slowly. They don't underestimate the number of tricks they've got up their sleeves. Every time we think that they've done all they can do, they come up with something else. So I don't know that they will necessarily be able to do more than they've already done, but they will be able to resurrect what they've done in a way that's, really destroys all of the funding for Roy Moore, et cetera. Okay, so sadly, Roy Moore, I think he's a wonderful gentleman, and I back him 1,000%. But you know what? He's starting to become the lawsuit guy. So headline says, Roy Moore files defamation lawsuit against Super PAC. That's a Senate PAC. Second story, Roy Moore files defamation lawsuit against Backwards of Highway 31 PAC. Paul Gaddis with that piece. Next story, Roy Moore files lawsuit over 17 campaign ads. And it goes on and on. And so they're just going to back Roy Moore into he's the lawsuit guy. And any money that you give to Roy is going to have to be used to, for these lawsuits. It reminds me of the Sandra Merritt lawsuit that cost almost $1 million so that Planned Parenthood could get $1.5 million and literally financially bury those people who are fighting for pro-life. It's getting to where going to court is their venue. And it almost does us more damage to go than not to go. And Larry Klayman and Roy Moore and others have been filing lawsuits, but they all get dismissed or they end up in a slam dunk against us in ways that are not helpful at all. So I appreciate what Roy's doing, but I have my concerns. And I don't know where the mainstream press is going to go next. I don't know that they can trot out more women. What are you going to just say? You know, me too, me too, me too, me too. I think what they'll do is they'll just try to bury him in the courts or hand him some defeats in the courts and then make a false allegation. So they'll defeat him in the courts and then they'll say, oh, by the way, when he was judged, and then they'll tell a lie. Look what he did to this person or that person, or he was on the take financially, or they'll find some other scandal and it won't be true. But yet, hey, by the time we dig to the bottom of that, where are thine accusers? And that's what Roy's saying right now. Where are my accusers? Where are they? I've been trying to get to court to force them to go on record with their statements, but you can't get them to court, Kurt. So the courts are what we, the conservatives, believe. See, we all always go to these rule of law ideas. Hey, we got a redressal of grievance. The founding fathers believed the courts were the place to go for that. Hey, we got a problem. Let's sit down with the county sheriff and see if we can't work this out. Let's sit down with our legislators. Let's have town halls. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go to Washington and meet with them in their offices. When you go to Washington, meet with them in their offices, all you do is you get a little bit of Jell-O and a photo and kick your butt right out the door, buddy. They're not interested in sitting down with you and talking about any meaningful real. And so we're getting to where, and I'm not downing Roy Moore by this. I'm expressing a concern. I think he should sue over these things because he's been wronged, but they're just turning him into a, hey, this joker is the guy that believed in the Ten Commandments and lost and lost and lost, and now he's a pervert, and now he's just a lawsuit happy loser pervert kind of thing. And I think they're wrong as could be about this. And I appreciate Roy for standing strong. But if anybody should know, it's starting to become, Roy Moore should know, if anybody knows, that, you know what, there's not redress of grievance in the courts. Now, I pray he's successful, but there's three lawsuits right there. In simultaneous going on, and some of the lawsuits get dismissed, and then they reinstate them, and then, I mean, it just goes right. And how much money does it cost? Nobody wins but the lawyers, Kurt.
Good point. The wicked judges and lawyers. In one of the stories, he says, Moore says, the women who came forward were all part of a political ploy. He says he plans on gaining the trust of the people of Alabama by sticking to the truth. We asked Moore how the sexual misconduct allegations will impact his campaign. He responds, where are my accusers? It's about time for them to appear again, because they don't appear except for political reasons. They were completely false allegations, and we're in court to show that. So I think that's what he's saying. We got to go to court to prove that, or else, you know, they will say, well, you know, you didn't even fight back against them. While addressing
the
crowd,
Roy Moore says...
Now, he's right
100%, by the way, Kurt. I'm not suggesting that he's not right.
Yeah, Roy Moore says he believes America has to get back to the times of morality. Moore says we've got to go back to what we did in the 60s and 70s. We've got to go back to the moral basics. He adds,
see, that's where I would kind of disagree. The 60s and 70s is where we embraced all the wrong things and ran off the rails. But I understand his point. We need to go back to a simpler, more honest time where morality was the standard. He's right.
Yeah, he says we didn't. We've got to go back to that. We've got to go back to the moral basics. We had abortion laws in our states. We didn't have same-sex marriage. We didn't have transgender rights. Sodomy was illegal. These things just weren't around when my classmates went to West Point, when we went to war in Vietnam.
Which we shouldn't have done, but that's partly my point. All right, quick pause. Sam Kurt, we're talking about Roy Moore. I pray he becomes the senatorial winner.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Another round of public hearings underway on Capitol Hill this morning.
This is the third in a series of public hearings the committee will be holding as part of the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry.
That's the Democratic chairman of the House Intelligence Panel. As the hearing began, that currently has vice presidential aide and Russia specialist Jennifer Williams testifying. The latest Democratic presidential debate will be tomorrow night in Atlanta. 10 candidates have qualified. Former VP Joe Biden, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders will have the center stage positions. Two prison guards on duty the night that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in a Manhattan jail cell, now in custody, arrested early today on federal charges linked to their failure to check in on him every 30 minutes. This is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance, from low-cost term to business or estate coverage or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830, 877-439-8830. AccuQuote, call them today.
Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
In Texas, police say they have isolated a suspect in the shooting death of a woman outside a Walmart, Sergeant Jonathan Lamb, telling reporters a short time ago the suspect is contained in a building. They're talking to him, and it's expected to be over soon. Just before 10:30 last night, local time, the woman was killed outside the Kerrville Walmart. Police believe the victim and the suspect knew each other. South Bend, Indiana Mayor and 2020 Democratic hopeful Pete Buttigieg speaking last night at a historically black college in Atlanta. He was asked by reporters to comment on his new front-runner status in Iowa.
We're certainly making sure we're ready for anything that will come, but the bottom line remains our message and what I'm proposing to do for this country. And, you know, that's carried us this far.
It could be another record-setting day on Wall Street. The three major indexes have been up since the opening bell. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, anything else on this Roy Moore thing, Kurt? I pray for him, and I think he's right, spot on, and I think he needs to do something, even though I don't believe there's a lot of redress or grievance in the courts. I commend him for having the tenacity and the desire and the willingness to continue to fight the good fight, because if we don't fight, we'll never win. If we stand up, at least we can win, possibly, and if we at least set the record straight that good people are doing their very best to stand for what is right. And I think that's an important thing. So by no means am I criticizing Roy Moore for this. I'm just a little concerned that there's no redress of grievances anymore. And I hate to even say that, but I've got to highlight where my concerns are. But I commend Roy Moore, and I pray for him, and I'll do everything I can to help him. Because I think he's spot on everything he's doing, Kurt. Any more comments on that?
No, I think it pretty much covers it. There's the one little, you know, bit that said the Foundation for Moral Law, which is Judge Moore's and his wife's entity, they defend ordinance against public nudity. You know, you've got very few people seem to stand up for, you know, godly principles, and at least, you know, the Moores have been there, and that's why we support them, Sam.
Right. Amen to that. Yes, sir. All right, Chick-fil-A's in the news. There's three headlines. Chick-fil-A makes stunning change. Did they really just cave? Asks WND.com. Second headline, Chick-fil-A to stop donating to Christian charities. that are branded anti-gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Third story, Huckabee blasts Chick-fil-A for selling out to liberals. You want to respond to all that first, Kurt?
You know, I don't know for sure because I wasn't in any meetings with Chick-fil-A or whatever. I guess in the past they've donated over 300 charitable groups. They say they're now going to donate to just three charities within each city the chain does business in, with each charity being linked to a core initiative. They call it, the ones that they're going to focus on are education, homelessness, and hunger. They say it provides more focus and more clarity. That's what the president and chief operating officer Tim Tassopoulos told BizNow. I don't see any quotes here from Dan Cathy. Anyway, in its statement, they say Chick-fil-A described it as a more focused giving approach and noted Junior Achievement USA and Covenant House International are two charities with which it will expand its partnership. They say the change in donation structure comes as the restaurant, which has doubled its sales since 2012, is continuing to expand its presence into various cities and even internationally. Company, they say, appears to be trying to avoid some of the accusations that have plagued the brand. Now, I wouldn't call it plagued because that's one of the main reasons, you know, that we went there. But they say there's no question, we know that as we go into new markets, this is what Mr. Tassopoulos said, we need to be clear about who we are. There are lots of articles and newscasts about Chick-fil-A, and we thought we needed to be clear about our message. To many who support the restaurant, Chick-fil-A's message is already clear. Chick-fil-A has cultivated an image of philanthropy and Christian values, along with quality food and consistent customer service. Back since CEO Dan Cathy, here's a little something about him, but not quote from him, said in 2012 that he believes in the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman. The restaurant has been targeted by those who have attempted to characterize the company as anti-gay.
All right, so here's my take of these three headlines, and here's my take on the story so far, Kurt. Yeah. Chick-fil-A makes stunning change. Did they really just cave, asks WND. Now, I think that's a fair question. Did they cave? It is a stunning change. I agree. However, I think the second headline really kind of highlights Chick-fil-A to stop donating to Christian charities that are branded anti-gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. The third story, Huckabee blasts Chick-fil-A for selling out to liberals. Now, I personally do not want to draw such a quick conclusion. Okay, it might be that Chick-fil-A caved. I don't know. And I agree with Kurt from the start. I haven't been sitting in the boardrooms. I don't know what's really going on here. And it is a stunning change. I don't disagree. And it is a little bit of a concern. I think, I hope they haven't. You know, but let me be very clear. Just because Chick-fil-A changes who they're going to donate to and why and how, don't subscribe it to the reasons the mainstream press or anybody else tells you. We don't know the reasons internally Chick-fil-A is doing what they're doing. They might just believe that they're backing away from controversy. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has done a lot of that too, where they are working with, for example, the NAACP to try to bring about peace and less of a divide. And when are you making the right moves versus when are you caving? And that's kind of what I think the debate really amounts to. Is Chick-fil-A caving? I'm not going to say they're caving yet, Kurt. Now, are they changing? Yes. The reasons for the change? I don't know. Are they trying to avoid controversy? I'm sure they are. Are they trying to give a little bit to show how peaceful they really are? Probably so. Is that necessarily bad or wrong or evil? I don't think so. So I'm not going to be the Huckabees and jump on and attack Chick-fil-A yet, Kurt. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to hope the best. And I'm going to pray this isn't a giving up on their core beliefs as much as it might be. You know what? We're not going to fight over certain things because we believe we can do more for Christian values by expanding and being the peacemaker than we can do by digging down and getting attacked and maligned and destroyed over nothing. And so I don't know if they're really caving or backing down or whatever word you want to use to describe that, or if they're just refining their message to show how peaceful and Christian they really are. I want to assume the best. So the headline I might say is Chick-fil-A proving they follow the Prince of Peace and changing their dynamic to avoid attacks and grow Christian kindness. So I look at it quite a bit different than others do, Kurt, and I'm not going to be the guy to attack them yet because I don't know. I was the same with the Boy Scouts. For a long time, I defended the Boy Scouts and said, hey, you know, some of these moves are gentle. Now, I do believe the Boy Scouts have failed us, sad to say. However, I do believe that other people might not be melting down or caving or, you know, appeasing liberals or selling out, or it might not be any of those things. And I'm not going to say just with this little change that that's what they've done. We need to be very careful not just to jump on the attack bandwagon when we, as Kurt wisely point out, don't know what's really going on. I don't know. Now, if they literally start doubling down and backing gay and lesbian principles, or if they, it might be different. And I pray we don't get there. But in the meantime, I'm still going to say Chick-fil-A does a lot of good. And even with their redefined giving, they still do a ton of good. And I don't want to attack them at all. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, which is what I would want done to me, Kurt. And that's why I have this view. So I think Huckabee's a little over the line. I get that WorldNet Daily is wondering, uh-oh, did they cave? It's a fair question. But so far, Kurt, just because of this change, I'm not going to go there. I haven't necessarily seen a caving. Now, you can say, well, the Christian charities that are branded gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, they're the ones they're not donating to. That may be true, but that may not be the reason that they're not donating to them. I don't know the inside. I'm just saying I think we need to be a little careful not to jump on the attack bandwagon too quickly, because we might be attacking our own. And I don't think we know the behind-the-scenes details well enough to make a decision at this point. At some point, we may be able to, you know, be much more concerned. By their fruits shall ye know them, is what I would point out. So far, the fruits of Chick-fil-A, in my opinion, are stellar. And just because there's a slight change that the mainstream press globs onto, and even others who are in the press who have concerns, let's not jump to conclusions. Let's look at the fruit. Their fruit is tremendous. Now, if at some point the fruit starts to go bad, I'll be the first to admit it. But until then, I want to be a little careful not to be the guy to attack our own. I want to be the guy that gives them the benefit of the doubt. And right now, I still believe in Chick-fil-A. And I pray for their success and their stability. And I pray this is not a waffle as it might appear to some. And I will do my very best to give them every benefit of the doubt until their fruit clearly shows, you know what, I just can't be part of that anymore. What do you say to that line of thinking? Kurt, am I far off on this?
I think it's fine. Here's a little bit more to add to it. This is from KSAT.com. I guess it's a local station down there in Texas. It says, after Chick-fil-A halts anti-LGBTQ donations, Governor Greg Abbott says he's going to Bill Miller's barbecue. Abbott's tweet comes months after signing Chick-fil-A bill into law. Remember the Chick-fil-A bill that he signed into law, Sam?
Which was saying that you can't discriminate and prevent them from putting up their establishments in places?
Right.
All right. Anyway, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get Kosher-tified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, any more on that Chick-fil-A story, Kurt? I just want to give them the benefit of the doubt. And again, I don't know, and I want to be very careful not to attack our own. There could be legitimate reasons for this change. And I take this, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has done some things that you could very easily criticize. You know, like working with the NAACP, that's a racist organization, folks, you know, but yet, you know, you got to go under, what is their reasoning? What is their purpose and what might come out of it that's good? And you got to be very careful and give people a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. And I want to do the same for Chick-fil-A right now, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, and especially because, the two great commandments, you've got love God and love your neighbor. And, you know, you can still love your neighbor with when you disagree with them, as far as I understand, Sam. You know, I was looking at that KSAT story, the one where Governor Abbott says he's not going to Chick-fil-A to eat, he's going to Bill Miller's barbecue. But and he had signed this law a while back, Chick-fil-A law they called it, where I guess San Antonio was saying they wouldn't let Chick-fil-A be in the airport. And he signed this July 18th. He says, no business should be discriminated against simply because its owners donate to a church, the Salvation Army, or other religious organization. He tweeted after the signing, Texas protects religious liberty. You know, I guess last year, Chick-fil-A donated $115,000 to the Salvation Army and $1.65 million to the FCA, or the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Those are the two organizations that have taken controversial stances, according to this article, on same-sex marriage and homosexuality. So that's I guess, the whole thing there.
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. We'll keep an eye on the ball. And if, you know, Chick-fil-A incrementally moves more towards the gay and lesbian agenda, or whether they, you know, stay strong, you know, time will tell. Like the Boy Scouts, we got to just watch and see where they really are headed. And it may not be as negative as we think. And we better not, we just need to be careful with that, in my personal opinion. I like Chick-fil-A and I will continue to support them. And I'll wait and see if, you know, maybe they're just refining their message and leading by following the Prince of Peace and saying, hey, we're not going to fight. We're going to be kind to everybody, but we're going to stand with our cause. I pray that's what they do. All right. We got an email from a listener, Kurt, and I'm not really sure what the listener's talking about. When you send us emails, folks, you've got to explain what you're talking about a little bit. Otherwise, it's very hard to respond. The email says this, Kurt.
Yeah, it says the U.S. Constitution gives the choice of electors to state legislatures. If the choice is made by a compact of states, it is still by the states and does not violate the Constitution.
Now, I don't know what that's in response to is the problem. I don't know if this relates to the Electoral College. I don't know if this relates to the, you know, states having their elected officials, the Senate, in other words, the 17th Amendment discussion. With the 17th Amendment, the people elect their senators, just like their House representatives. It's very democracy kind of style, whereas it used to be where the senators were elected by the state legislatures, and the states then had a seat at the table through the Senate in Washington to rein in the federal government. I don't know which he's referring to in this case. Do you, Kurt?
Well, I'm assuming that it has something to do with this whole thing, the NPV deal, the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, where they're trying to get these different states to go together and say, hey, no matter what our state votes, like let's say, for example, you're in Colorado and your state, 51% of the people vote for President Trump. If the national popular vote totaled, enough to where the whole nation voted for Hillary, then even though your state voted for President Trump, then your electorals or electoral college votes would go to the winner.
Okay, so he's basically either one, rejecting the electoral college outright and or circumventing it with the popular vote having greater authority. See, I disagree. And the reason that I disagree is I believe in these checks and balances. Okay, everything with the intent of the founding fathers had a check and a balance. Every issue you could bring up had a counterbalance to it. Okay, whether it be the three branches of government on the federal level, whether it be the states and the federal government, whether it be, there were checks and balances in everything. And I support the checks and balances. And I think the more we remove the checks and balances, the more we move towards a pure democracy. I reject democracy. I stand for a constitutional republic, which is based on the rule of law, which is every intention to create checks and balances to slow government down. Okay, I don't want government to pass a gazillion bills. I don't want government to have for expediency this and that. I want government to be very slow, very methodical, and I want to make sure that the checks and balances rein in power. I don't seek for power. I seek to pull it down. And so, anyway, listener, and I don't know if we should be mentioning your name on the air or not, so I won't. I'm not trying to out you or anything else. If you want your name on the air, then email me back and we'll put you on and we'll have a debate about this. But what I'm saying to you is I believe in the checks and balances that America was founded upon, and I want to return to those checks and balances. So if that's your intent, I understand. Now, if your intent is to say, hey, the federal government has very limited power and the states have tremendous power and the states can get together in a compact and do anything they want to, see, that's where I disagree. I think the states have plenty of broad power. But I don't think they have power to violate things that have been delegated to the federal, or I should say the federal is probably the right way. I don't believe that the states can. I'll give you an example. I have a right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. That's what the Second Amendment to the Constitution says. I have a right to free speech. That's what the First Amendment of the Constitution says. A lot of people believe that the Bill of Rights does not apply to the states, and I disagree with them. Now, I know I've been back and forth with this with some people and stuff. So, I don't try to call me out and send me a little note how the founders said this or said that. Because you know what? At the end of the day, if the states can violate my Second Amendment and my First Amendment, then who do I need to fear, the state or the federal government? So, see, I believe that there were untouchables in the Constitution that defined in the Bill of Rights that defined my God-given and inalienable rights. The state or the Fed don't have any authority to take away my guns, or my right to keep and bear arms, or my right of God-given self-defense. Okay, and so we need to be very careful when we think the states have just whatever power they want. There's no limits on the states whatsoever. That isn't true. Otherwise, the state could just shut down my Second Amendment, my First Amendment. Believe it or not, that happened to a radio talk show host that was critical of Donald Trump. Headline says, conservative radio host Craig Silverman, a former chief deputy district attorney in Denver, Colorado, says that he was in the middle of Trump criticism on air when they pulled the plug on his show midstream. They walked in and said, you're done. Okay. I don't believe that the state has authority. Now, this private radio station group might be able to, fire this guy. I don't know. But I believe we need criticism of Trump. Not that I want to spend all my days criticizing Donald, but we need this court of public opinion for open discussion and dialogue. And we don't need a tyrannical hand. Okay, but so I don't believe that the states have carte blanche ability to do everything, including violate all the Bill of Rights, Kurt, or take away things that have been clearly designated to the federal government to say, hey, you have a right to keep and bear arms, and that shall not be infringed. It doesn't say by the federal government, but the states can infringe all they want. So we need to be very careful when we give authority to the state that it doesn't have, or that we act like the federal government's your big enemy and the state's the good guy, because neither are true. The dividing of power, the checks and balances are critical. And I don't seek for power. I seek to pull it down. So anyway, listener who emailed, if you want to debate this or discuss it more or clarify yourself, by all means, email us. But it's very hard when it's so vague what we're even discussing. Nevertheless, I always back the checks and balances, and I want to move back to the way the founding fathers intended it. So I would get rid of the 17th Amendment and let the state legislative bodies elect the senators. So they would have a seat in Washington. And I think that the states, instead of being political subdivisions of the feds, would have a lot more power to stand up to the federal government if that were true. And so whenever we disable a check and balance, I'm concerned. Whenever we fire a talk show host for opinions on the air, Craig Silverman, I am concerned. I don't even know that I agree with the host. I don't even know what he said. But I'm going to defend his right to say it, is the point. Kurt, final story before the end of the hour. Ammon Bundy. I guess he went in a rush to save an Idaho ranch. And it's good news, what?
Well, what happened was, you know, he was heading there to, you know, apparently this ranch was going to be sold at auction or whatever, and he found out that the people at the ranch had not told him the truth. And so rather than come, you know, I guess you could say, to their aid, he found out that he shouldn't be, you know, that the situation wasn't as he was told. So, you know, a number of stories about him were saying that, oh, you know, he didn't come to their aid or whatever. Well, you know, he found out that it wasn't as he was told, and so he didn't, you know, continue on with
it. And the headline says Ammon Bundy's rush to save an Idaho ranch ends without standoff, but it doesn't really give you the story in that headline, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Ammon Bundy basically, hey, rushed to the aid of somebody, but then he found out, hey, things weren't as he were told. I know that feeling, by the way.
Yep.
Where oftentimes we, you know, find out things aren't as we think, and that's why we need to be very careful. And I don't mean to have a negative attitude on Roy Moore or the courts, or, but I'm telling you that the conservatives are being turned down at every turn. And there is starting to be no door open to peacefully restore the republic. Now, some would say, Sam, I'm finally glad you got it, buddy. I've been telling you that for years, and you finally got it. No, you're wrong. I get the point that you've been making, and the point has been hammered home and in my face, so I highlight it. I've known this for a long time, and I still maintain that we need to use the rule of law, do all that we can, as Judge Roy Moore is doing, and then just trust in and wait on the Lord. So because I highlight this, it's just because it's been in my face lately that I highlight this truth. That doesn't mean that I change course. I still think we ought to peacefully be on the radio. I still think we ought to sue, even though sometimes I believe it might be fruitless. I still think we need to do it. I think we need to stand in the gap for the sacred cause of liberty. I think good, honest, moral people need to repent. We need to advocate for and increase our numbers. And we need to stay the course. Just because I think in many ways doors are closed to us, I think we need to pray hard and work hard and trust in and wait on God Almighty. Okay? And that's where I will not waver, and I will not back down, and I will not give up. And I'm not saying that we should give up. I'm just saying, hey, it's becoming more and more and more evident that there's a problem. The next question is, if there is a problem, what do you do? Do you take to the streets? Do you take to a revolution? Do you take the gloves off and go that route, and the violent route? And I'm saying, no, you don't. You trust in God. You wait on the Lord. And you do what you know to be right, and you never back down in that quest. Any final comments, Kurt?
God bless America. God bless the world. Let's make America and the world great again.
And it all starts with morality and the people. And I think Roy Moore's on target, and my prayers are with him and his family. We hope to have him on again soon. And I think he's doing what's right. He's staying the course. Steady goes it. And the Founding Fathers found them in some situations. They found, I mean, you just don't see how you can get out of it, right? You don't see how it could make any sense to keep doing what they were doing. But they did, and God rewarded them richly. And that rich reward has been given to us as a legacy. Let's keep the legacy alive, shall we? For Sam and Kurt, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right. This nation shall endure. God save the republic.